D-H-Z, go!
I used to say I'm the boss. They've hit at the most. They're doing real good, yeah. I would say they're the boss. They bring real information. If you don't know, I'm set nation. Dropping knowledge on the daily. Really?
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 These
really.
Boys bring it on real.
Recording live from the SEC Sports Pub, here's Heath Elsenson, Tomas Mauricio, and your host, David Romero.
All right, everybody, places, everyone.
I mean, they know what's popping in the field. Yeah.
Yeah.
BL and B-Boys. Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Saints. BL and B-Boys. I love this book, guys.
There it is. There it is. Hey, welcome in another week, another edition. The BS and Beer podcast crew recording here live at the SEC Sports Pub with me, as usual, to my right, Heath Elsenson.
Hello.
To my left, Tomas Mauricio.
Present.
I'm Dave Romero, and I'm your host. And for the next hour, we're going to be talking more Saints and useless information than anybody needs to know. So from Ruston to Monroe, Farmerville to Jonesboro, grab a drink, sit back, relax. Because we're about to do the SEC Sports Pub.
We are.
And 97.7 Sports Talk Radio, BS and Beer style. Gentlemen, welcome in. You know, it's the off season. It's time for speculation and you know, hope and all the things.
Hope.
We got hope. Listen, what are we going to talk about? I have a special guest, a draft expert.
Me?
Rick said, yeah, you too, Tomas. I don't want you to get jealous. I know how you get sometimes. But I'll let you two go at it. We'll bring them on here with us one time. I did the interview with him a little earlier today, but we'll bring him in and let him and Tomas go at it.
Yeah.
That'll be fun. But Rick Saratella of the NFL Draft Bible, he's excellent. He was at the Senior Bowl just this past weekend in Mobile, Alabama. He's going to be over at the Scouting Combine in Indianapolis. So he's right there. He has eyes on it. He's going to come in and share some of his thoughts. I got some general ideas about his thoughts on the draft, and then I also talked a little bit more specifically about the Saints, and so we talked a little bit about that. That's going to be at the bottom of the hour. And then the Pro Bowl this past weekend, we'll talk a little bit about that. When did they quit tackling? Did you see?
Yeah.
No, I mean,
it's a joke.
I watched the Pro Bowl. I turn it on like once every 3 years, and it's same thing with basketball. I'm not a huge – I like basketball. I just don't watch it that much. And then I feel like I don't watch it for 10 years, but maybe it's only been like 2 years. And I turn it on, I'm like, oh, my God, that guy's still playing? Because unlike football, these basketball players play for like 15 years. and no, more like 18 to 20 years.
Yeah.
Where NFL football guy, if you don't watch football for 3 years, the whole league's about 70% turned over.
Yep.
We're going to go into depth. Today's the day where – you know, we might. I know you like to, Tomas, being a draft expert yourself.
Yeah, sure.
You like to go into the names, but I always like to ease it in. You know, just put your toes in there. You just
show them what you got, but don't let them have it. You got to tease them a little.
Yeah, we just.
I'm good with that.
We just give them a little bit.
Because we just had the Senior Bowl, and so I have to do a little more evaluating.
Right, as
on
more
that.
Information comes out.
Yeah.
But what we're going to do is we're going to just talk in depth about what positions we think need to be upgraded. We're going to give our lists.
Right.
We're going to say, hey, we need this first and then the next thing, and we always have a good spirited debate about that. So I'm looking forward to that. And then also, something I saw on Twitter, Cam Jordan tweets out, and he basically said that he was asked, who do you know about defensive end, about somebody playing the opposite of him. Cam Jordan apparently thinks that we already got the guys on the roster, so we're going to talk a little bit about that. We have a couple of hotline calls. And
what's that number, by the way, Dave?
By the way, that number, 701-901-1295.
There you go.
It's the graffiti hotline. If you haven't heard of it, I'm sure most
where
have by now. I know. Where have you been?
Yeah.
But you give us a call, you leave a message, we put it on the show. So go ahead, be part of the show, get with that. Now, we also want to talk a little bit about Drew Brees, and I want to get you guys' opinion. Everybody's talking about the kid, the quarterback, Baker Mayfield.
Mm-hmm.
He's expected to go top 10 now. Do you give up this year's first-round draft pick that you could hopefully get a guy that could be an impact player and help us to continue our move to the Super Bowl from where we start? We were last
like Baker.
Or do you secure your future with a potential quarterback that can replace Drew in a couple of years. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously he's not going to play now.
Right.
Because here's the thing. I know people, some people think Drew has
it could be that the quarterback's already on the team, but go ahead.
No, and I've heard that before. But here's the thing. People think Drew Brees is going to play for another 4 or 5 years. It just occurred to me. He's getting to that age where they start telling you you need to go visit the proctologist, okay? And I'm just
Why
saying.
Why do you look at me when you say that?
I'm just saying. Listen, now I've never been to prison, but I know there's some people who've had something similar to that happen to them, and it kind of takes your manliness away from you. So if he's required to do that,
well,
and
know,
he comes
just
back.
Be careful when the proctologist has one hand on your shoulder. You just have to be careful.
Well, you know, I'm at age two. And
be
then
careful it's not two.
And the thing is, you. The thing, too, is the guy got. You tell me something to him, they get all insulted, and they tell you to get out of their van. And I just. I'm just saying, so we don't want, like, if Drew has to go have something like that done, it could change everything. He comes back, man, he can't look you in the eye anymore, you know. He's kind of like barking out the call, the cadence, and he says, like, hey, speak up, man, we can't hear you, you know.
So and when his teammate comes by and gives him a little something
on
the posterior,
something.
He's
And next, so Mike gives him a slap on the butt, says, good job, and next thing you know, he's in a fetal position in the shower, just kind of shaking and crying.
There you go.
Especially when he finds the Me Too website.
There you have it. You know, time's up.
The point is, this is a complicated situation. It's not. It's not just.
All right, we better get off. We're gonna get in trouble doing all that.
No, I think we're gonna be all right.
You think we'll be okay?
Yeah, I think we'll be okay. Hey, but I tell you what, maybe we should go ahead and get the show started.
Yeah,
come back and
I
talk some football. Y'all ready?
All right, I'm ready.
Tonight on BS and Beer Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, it's the Action Suspense Airline Highway at 9:30. Followed by this year's award-winning suspense thriller, Camp Beast. Next, it's hilarious family fun suitable for all ages with Drew, Sean, and Mickey. Then, it's Sex in the Cell Block, the hot new show that's too racy for daytime. That's Sex in the Cell Block at 11 tonight. Then, it's Saints Talk with Dave, Tomas, Heath, and the BS and Beer podcast crew. Every night here on the BS&B Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, a limited liability corporation.
All right, so listen, I'm making a command decision, I think, because we too many times we get to talking and we forget about the code word.
All right, so code word for this week is?
Proctologist.
There you go.
Proctologist, all right. So, that we, you know,
so how many code words do you actually have
okay,
now on your
so
list?
So here's my list. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I have 9.
9, including the one from today, proctologist?
Yeah, including proctologist.
So we need one more next week, and we'll have 10.
Yeah.
And then you figure out how many of the 10 that they have to be able to win.
Okay, yeah, we'll do that.
We'll have 10 total, and then...
And then we have to get the...
What is it?
Harmonically sealed envelopes or harmonically...
Hermetically.
Hermetically, okay. So we'll have the harmonically sealed envelopes... With this, all the kind of special information.
I'll bring my harmonica next week.
Dewey, so we Cheatham, and Howe.
Yeah.
So, all right. So, give us the update where we stand. Quick overview.
Right, quick overview here, of course.
We got one game left in the Pick'em contest.
You know, I'm just going to tell you at this point, it's a good fight at the top there. Rob 22278 and Lord Boudreaux are tied at 131 points. The Bridge is at 130. The OGHB. Is at 128, tied with some guy named BS and Beer Tomas.
Oh.
And then after that, we have Cincy Saint, Hudat, Tudat, 2017, and Captain Cheesy, all tied at 127. And then Swamp Rats, Fournette, Flicks, and Chill, and another 7-9. No, sorry, not that one. Fournette and Flicks, 126. All right, there you go.
There you go.
Now, that's like the top ones there, and so... I mean, that's the race right there.
We're going to have to figure out something because
there's only
like
one point left.
Yeah, and there's only one point left. There's going to be some ties.
So, yeah, you know, I'm thinking even if the two guys at the top both get it right, then you have a tie for first play.
Yeah, and so we're going to have to have some type of tiebreaker. So what should we do where if the two people in first place? Oh, the words. The more words they get.
That's it.
Now, what about the two guys in first place? One of them wins, one of them loses. Whoever loses don't get nothing. And then we get all the people in second place and they battle. No.
I'm good with that.
Nah,
people
I know
wouldn't
you
be happy with it.
No, we're not gonna do
you're
that.
You're gonna have
we're
to split the funds. But no. I'm just saying, you know, you have two tied at first, one at second by themselves, and one not counting me.
Yeah, and don't forget there should be, you know, 20 words or whatever, right?
Yeah, there should be. Well, here's the thing. What we could do is the people who would have finished tied, we can send them like autographed hats or something, or just maybe we can get our business card and autographic.
Sounds good. I'm good with that.
That's worth more than all that
My
money right there.
My autograph is worth a lot of money.
Yeah, hey, it's the BS and Beer podcast crew. Don't go anywhere. We are just scratching the surface. We have tons of Saints to talk about, NFL, Super Bowl, 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. We'll be right
back.
You're
listening to the BS and Beer podcast.
Sugar-free, gluten-free, fat-free, talent-free, and free-free, the BS and Beer Podcast.
Welcome back. Dave Romero, Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio, the BS and Beer Podcast crew here at the SEC Sports Pub, talking wall-to-wall Saints. First thing that I'm going to bring up is we need to talk about Drew Brees. Now, the Saints haven't specifically contacted me, but I'm pretty confident that they're going to want to know what we have to say so that they can make plans going forward.
Absolutely.
So here's the thing. Saints, yeah, for all, in my heart, they were better than the Vikings. They should have won that game. But there are some deficiencies. Now, some of them be replaced when we get all these guys back from injured reserve. Having said that, we're close. So there's talk, and the reason I'm bringing this up is, and I'm not saying I even believe it, but there's a ton of talk about Baker Mayfield. Last year, the Kansas City Chiefs went from 27 to 10 to pick up their quarterback, and I can't remember his name.
Mahomes,
yeah, that's right. So, if the Saints were offered that opportunity to get, and I'm just saying Baker Mayfield, let's say, because he seems like all the rage right now, do you give up the now that potentially that first rounder could be, you know, name any of the guys, you know, Ryan Ramczyk, Lattimore, it could be, you know, Kamara.
Yeah.
Do you give that up to get a quarterback? And let's just assume he's going to be a good quarterback.
Right.
Do you give that player up to get a guy who's going to sit on the bench for the next 3 years?
Yeah. No. I
okay.
Yeah, I mean, in short, you know.
Yeah, you got to tease him a little bit, man. You know, jump right into it.
The longer story. No, not for, you know, I don't know that Baker Mayfield is the guy, right? At least not to me. Now, maybe the franchise feels that way. Maybe other people in the know, you know, feel that way about Baker Mayfield. I don't. So I'm saying no. I don't give up an impact player right now that could fill a hole that we have or a weakness for a guy that may be sitting around for two or three more years waiting to play behind Drew Brees.
All right. So, Tomas, so now based on what Heath just said, we're going to go get this other guy, whatever he is, a linebacker. We could use an athletic linebacker,
that's my
right?
Number one pick.
And well, you got to save that for later. Now we told you.
I'm
about
not telling you what the name is.
Show him what you got, but don't let him have it.
Yeah,
you got to tease him a little.
All right, he understands
that. At this point, my thought is that the first round draft choice at 27 should be a linebacker. I don't necessarily think a defensive end, but linebacker. Now, slim pickings in free agencies, and that's why I'm thinking linebacker is the way to go. But if you're asking about the quarterback question, let me answer it for you. I think that Baker will become a fine starting quarterback in the NFL. Should we trade with the Oakland Raiders at number 10? My answer is no. Sorry, I don't think so. If I were going to trade, I'll give you another little tease, I might actually trade down this year, get out of 27.
Oh, God. But every year I say that, and I don't recall what you say. Saints don't trade down. They've proven that they do not trade down.
I didn't say they were going to. I was just saying that if I were in that position,
right,
I would not trade up.
The way we've been drafting, man, more
that's
picks means
saying
more players.
Yeah. If you trade, if you get more 2-3, we don't have a 2. If we get out of 1 and pick up 2 and a 3, I think it'd be more advantageous to us because, for example, the linebacking core is very deep. Now, there is a quarterback I like. There's actually 2 I like in a draft that aren't going to be first-round picks. So, no, I wouldn't go with Baker.
Okay, so now you I don't know if you really answered the question. So let's forget about Baker Mayfield. The question is, Tomas,
yes,
he's just said that, no, he's going to go for the player now. So in 3 years from now, when Brees retires or whatever, we don't have a quarterback on the roster.
I disagree.
So
I go for the best player available because we're on the cusp of being able to play in the Super Bowl. And so I would pick, you know, now I said linebacker. That's really not the first guy I would pick. But, you know, I don't know if the first guy I would like is going to be there. So I would say that, no, I think we go long term. So we pick something that's going to help us a little bit. We keep storing up our draft picks, and I hope that we have the same kind of draft that we had last year.
Yeah.
You know, where we pick up 2, 3, 4 starting possibilities.
Yeah, I don't mean to pick on you, but you know, I want a draft, and let's just get us about 3 Pro Bowlers and 4 other starters, you know.
What's
the problem?
Why not? You know, because you look year after year, New England seems to come up with good draft picks year after year. It's not unheard of.
No. And look, there's no reason, because it wasn't just last year. The prior year to that,
yes,
we had a nice haul of draft picks.
Yes,
and it seems like Jeff Ireland, listen.
He's made a difference,
he's
in my
made
opinion.
A difference. And I think most people would agree. And quite frankly, he wasn't that guy in Miami. I mean, he kind of ran that program, and you know, I don't want to say into the dirt, but you know, look, he got fired from there. He comes here, and he found out, or whatever it is,
well,
the combination.
I think he has more checks and balances here than he did in Miami.
Sure.
Miami, he was like GM, VP, and all that other stuff.
He did what he wanted.
Exactly.
So, and sometimes you're right. Having somebody stand over you, you know, checks and balances. You know,
and
whatever it is, seems to have worked. You know, because now everyone likes to give all the credit to Ireland. I guarantee you Ireland isn't the end-all, be-all.
No,
so the
point is
whatever input he's given is saying, hey, this is the type of player you want. Here are the guys who I think fill that role, and then Peyton
and I'm sure
goes
he,
through it.
And Peyton, Mickey Loomis. So I think we have a better system of checks and balances. And like Heath said, what does Loomis do? You said Heath.
Yeah, he. What numbers do I have to fit in, and who I write checks to?
There you go.
That's
but
what
that is
Loomis's
part of the checks
is.
And balances.
All right, we're going to take a hotline call here for those of you who say, you know, Dave, I'd like to do a hotline call. I just don't know how.
They want to be a star like
that. Yeah, we'll give them an example of it. 701-901-1295. You leave your message. We pull the audio. We put it on the show.
Right,
we talk
it.
About it. Here we go.
Hey, guys. This is Wesley TX13. I was inspired by last week's conversation, so I thought I'd call in and give our Billy Idol and George Michael season wrap-up. I really think that the game is going to be a huge lesson and growth opportunity for our young players to see what the playoffs are all about and see how every single play matters. You know, we were hot in the city, but that last play let me see how I was dancing with myself at a white wedding. Thought we were going to rock the cradle of love that the Viking fans had with their team.
I like it.
And we were going to end that game with a rebel yell.
Woo-hoo!
We ended up with a little more than a careless whisper. You know, last Christmas I gave you my heart. But the very next month, you gave it away. We are going to be back next season to give it one more try after we grant Kobe Fleener his freedom. Just wake me up before you go to the draft, and you got to have faith. Who that?
Nice.
I'm loving it.
Nice, man.
Excellent.
The guy has some.
Took some work.
Took some work. You know he's over there since the last show with his pen. He's like, oh, no, not that one. That's not good enough. But, hey, well done, Wesley. Thanks for the call. We appreciate that. Man, we're going to have to start coming up with an award, man.
Yeah.
That was definitely the most creative call so far. Anyway, Wesley, I'm trying to think of anything that you actually said that we could discuss. And quite frankly, unless we want to start talking about our 80s pop singers, I think.
But he said it was a good experience for the young guys, you know, get that taste of the playoffs. And
Okay, so look, I'll make a point about that. To me, the biggest impact we'll have as far as new talent or talent that is on our team next year is going to be the jump of all of our young players.
Yes, yes.
Like even Sheldon Rankins missed most of his rookie year.
Yeah.
So last year, but this year, you can argue that, you know, most of it was
really
his rookie year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's still a chance. You know, the guy was brought in not as a run stuffer, which he's done a good job of.
Yes.
He's a pass rusher. He's a quick guy. He's quick feet. He's strong. There's a chance that we could see a guy that's a, you know, 5 or 6 sack guy next year.
Next
and for
year.
Interior defensive lineman, that's big. We got Anzalone. Now, look, Heath, I'm going to go ahead and say it before you say it.
Well, you know, I hate to say it, but, I mean, when you was talking earlier about, you know, when we get all these guys on IR back, most of the guys on IR that matter – I'm afraid of guys that are going to spend a lot of time on IR.
Well,
they have in their career so far. You look at a guy like Okafor, you know,
Anzalone.
I assume Kikaha's done at this point.
Yeah.
Anzalone with his college, you know, so we'll see how that shakes out. But, you know, hopefully that's not the case. But go ahead.
Now, some of these guys, listen, it's not that they had some serious injury. It's like, hey, if there's only 2 weeks left in the season.
Yeah, we're going to hide them.
Yeah. Well, no.
Oh, I'm talking about
this. Yeah, at the end of the season, there's only 2 weeks left, and you got a 4-week injury. It's like, man, you're going to IR. You know, twisted ankle. It's going to take them 3 or 4 weeks to get healthy.
And you put somebody active on the
right. Roster. So sometimes I will say, when I listen to Saints fans or any NFL fan talk about how many players that were on injured reserve at the end of the season, you have to ask how many of those guys were actually difference makers. Because, you know, you talked about, Tomas, about the defensive tackle that went on IR. Hughes, I believe, yes. Hughes goes on IR.
Right.
Then we bring in
McDaniels
and then he goes on IR the next week. Yeah. None of those guys are interchangeable. None of them are difference makers.
Right, right.
You know, to try to use those two statistics to say that, oh, look, 20 guys on IR, those guys are interchangeable. They're just a guy. They fill the roster. They do a certain job. And I'm not saying that they weren't good for the team. You need somebody to plug the run, but you can pretty much go get those guys off the street.
Right.
Especially at their talent level or at their age or where they're at in their career.
Now we're talking about the Okafors, the Anzalones, the, you know, Klein.
Klein,
these
kind
of guys. And, of course, the biggest of all, Fleener. I mean, that was a huge loss.
Yeah. Yeah, I know you.
But, look, no, I mean, there's only a small handful of guys that are really going to make a difference. Unfortunately, a lot of these guys seem to be injury prone.
Well, you know, and so. hopefully that's, you know, I don't know what to say because you're right. And I can try to look at the optimistic way and say, but Anzalone, golly, if he would have, I mean, at least blow out a knee or something, you know, don't injure your shoulder again.
Well, all we can hope at this point is that he got better care this time. And maybe since it's the same shoulder every time, maybe at this level and this doctor was able to do something that he didn't get in college. I don't know. I mean, that's about the only thing at this point.
Maybe we can get a donkey tendons and something really strong and tough and put
them
in there.
Maybe they can put whatever they put in Kikaha's knee and his shoulder and they can, you know, hold that together.
I don't know if that's going to hold up any better. You know,
all right, say like, Charles Davis from the Panthers. Maybe they'll put whatever they put in his knee.
Go talk to his doctor, not Charles Davis. The linebacker you're talking about, it's
Davis.
Yeah, it's Davis, but it's not Charles. Charles Davis, I think.
Oh, yeah, he's the commentator.
On ESPN or something.
Yeah, whatever. Davis.
Davis. Whoever his doctor
Thomas Davis.
Yeah. And wherever they got that ligament from, they need to go find that guy.
Yeah.
And, like, listen, if
they'll dig that cadaver back up and get some
and
more.
Get the other knee ligament or something. I mean, I don't care if he can't lift his arm past his shoulder as long as it don't disconnect.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, just kind of keep
his just do a cane tackle.
Yeah, right, yeah. All right.
But, yeah, and you know, peanut butter and jelly, man. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to see how much this guy improves between his 7th and 8th year rookie
season. Okay, now, listen, it's not his fault that he only played like 6 games in 8 years.
You know, well, like, I mean, you know.
It's like that. I saw a movie, and it's like, he's like, man, a lot of guys spend 6 years in college. Yeah, they're called doctors, bro. And like, so, I mean, he's like, hey, man, a lot of guys, you know, they're called veterans, and you have to get more than 6 games experience. You know, but here's the thing. I'm picking on him. I'm picking just – I'm trying to be funny. But I'm holding out hope. The guy's been in the league literally. Next year will be his fourth year. And this is the first season where he's played more than 2 games. But here's where the optimist comes in. He has about as many games as your boy Crawley had when Crawley kind of got over the hump. So my point is he's another guy, even though he's been in the league like 12 years. He only has 1 full season. He's like a rookie. Okay.
Yeah.
He's not even vested. I don't know. Do you accumulate that stuff? And
I don't know how that works. Yeah. Like, I think you got to complete more than 2 games to like get credit.
I do believe there is a certain number.
Yeah,
of games.
It's like 6 or something.
Because the guy's gonna be like a 13-year veteran. He's like, man, he's not even eligible for any of the benefits and stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
All right. So hey, I got an email here, and it's probably something that Heath would be because it's an LSU question because. It says, first of all, the email says, Dave, you're amazing. I love everything about you in the show. No, y'all don't need to see the email.
I see you hiding that paper over there. Yeah.
DJ Chalk.
Yeah.
Yes. He was a guy that was like, to me, he's a coach killer because I know he has a lot of the skills. He's fast and he's, you know, tall guy. And, man, when I watch LSU games, that guy drives me crazy. It's either a big play or he's dropping a ball or fumbling a punt or something. But he may have moved himself into the first or second day with his play there, and so that's what the email asked. What we thought about DJ Chalk as a Saint?
As a Saint,
kind of caught you off guard there.
Yeah, I mean, he needs some more seasoning, but certainly the right pick or whatever, I'd be all for it.
Yeah, I mean,
he's got good size, you know. I mean, he's definitely got the talent,
right?
But he
I mean, he's a more talented Brandon Coleman, Tomas.
I believe that
making bad plays at the wrong time that'll hurt you in a game. That's the way I see the guy.
Well, I don't see him making those kind of plays. I do see him as a very good route runner already. And I think that if he has a real quarterback, which LSU hasn't had in about 20 years, you know, if he has a real quarterback throwing the ball
so
at him.
So it's a quarterback making him fumble those punts.
That's correct. Yeah. So, no, I mean, if you saw in the Senior Bowl, I mean, it was a different guy, really, if you watched how he was playing in the Senior Bowl.
No, he tore – I mean, there's no denying it.
So, to me, I could see him as a Saint at the right draft pick. It wouldn't be one or two, but, you know, we have a couple of threes.
No, and the thing is, we need another playmaker, Heath.
Yeah. No, that's what I'm saying. I mean, like Tomas said, a mid-round selection like that, yeah, he'd definitely be a guy I'd be interested in.
Fifth round, I could see that. Yeah. You know, fifth round, because he has the talent. And again, he's done a lot of things very, to me, Brandon Colden-esque in the sense that it's like, oh, everything's going well. Then, oh, he's wide open. He drops a ball or he fumbles a ball or, you know, and maybe that can be coached out of him. He's a young player, and you're right. Tomas, obviously in the Senior Bowl, played really well.
He tore it up, man.
He tore it up with the talent he has, the speed, the size. He's going to get noticed by the scouts. That game was probably huge for him.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, literally, he could have been a, you know, sixth, seventh rounder, might have moved up into the fourth round, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, you never know. Hey, it's the BS and Beer podcast crew. We have Rick Saratella of the NFL Draft Bible coming up next. Don't go in here. You don't want to miss it. We'll talk to you in a minute.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast.
BS and Beer, standing up for the little people, man.
BS and Beer Podcast.
Standing up for people.
BS and Beer.
Indeed, you are powerful.
Americans are going to stand up and say,
BS and Beer.
And I'm just telling you what people are going to do.
We fight bullies.
BS and Beer Podcast.
There's going to be a revolution
for the people.
BS and Beer.
There's going to be riots in the streets.
BS and Beer.
BS and Beer.
Getting ready to rise up.
BS and Beer Podcast.
Come on, I'm joining them.
Now witness the firepower of this fully armed and operational
podcast.
Hey, welcome back. It's the BS and Beer podcast crew. I'm Dave Romero, and I have a special guest on the line. It's Rick Saratella with the NFL Draft Bible. Rick, thank you so much for joining me today, man.
Hey, David, you just caught me pouring a cold one, man. I appreciate it.
You did say whenever we were talking just a second ago that once it gets to afternoon, then it's fine to open up a beer and a little BS here. So, listen, the first question I have for you, let's start with the big picture. How does this draft class, and I know it's early, but in your opinion, how does it stack up against recent years?
Well, you know, right now I'm looking at the big board. I have a solid first-round grade on 22 guys. I think these 22 guys would pretty much be a consensus first-round pick in just about any draft and any draft class. So I think, you know, when you talk about the strength of an overall draft class, I think most people focus on the top-heavy aspect of it, how much star-studded power is it. Obviously, there's a handful of franchise quarterbacks, as many as four that I can see going in the first round. So when you talk about star-studded quality, franchise-type quarterbacks, I think this draft stacks up as well as any draft in recent years. So it should be exciting in terms of the depth of it. I always believe that if you do your homework, you can grab a starter in the first round, second round, sixth round, seventh round, which is why I never traded draft picks.
So that now that's one of the things as a Saints show, you know, the New Orleans Saints and their administrative group, they tend to want to trade up as opposed to trade down. And you're saying that in your experience, that's not the way you would go.
In most situations, you know, and unless it's a game changer type of player like the Falcons a couple years back, they went out and got Julio Jones. They probably overpaid. But their team was built where that was one of the final pieces. They reached the Super Bowl, I think, in due part to that trade. But in general terms speaking, yeah, you know, I think of every draft pick as a lotto ticket. And, you know, every year there's a handful of starters to emerge from those day three selections. And if you do your due diligence, if you do your homework, if you comb across the nation, north, south, east, west, I just wouldn't give up draft picks. You know, to me, a seventh round pick is just as valuable as a first round pick, but hey, that's just me.
All right, Rick Saratella with the NFL Draft Bible with us, and he's with us now, but apparently you were in Mobile, Alabama this past week. So tell me about some of the guys who stood out to you.
Well, you know, I think back to the quarterback, so much attention was paid to the Baker Mayfield, Josh Allen QB show that, you know, these guys like Kyle Lauletta, the FCS quarterback out of Richmond, you know, he put on a show this week, and I thought he really improved his draft stock. And Mike White from Western Kentucky, another quarterback there, that, you know, both of those guys, if they go in the first, you know, day two, would not surprise me. And I'm not so sure that their draft stock was there at the beginning of the week. DJ Chark from LSU, I mean, right. This is going to be another playmaking wide receiver from the Tigers. I think 63 career receptions. It wouldn't surprise me if he has that many catches his rookie year. He's definitely going to be a better pro than he is collegiate player, and I think he's going to be a guy that's kind of under the radar right now, but is really going to produce. And then Dallas Goedert, South Dakota State, another one of these FCS guys. Now, an injury cut his practice week short. He was only out there a couple days, but he did enough to really solidify himself as a first-round pick. In fact, you know, he was maybe a potential borderline first-round pick. Now, I would say he's in the top half of the first round. And keep it on the FCS theme. You know, we love the small school love. North Carolina A&T tackle, Brandon Parker. I mean, this guy's just a stud over there at left tackle. I think he's another guy that really improved his draft stock. And that's just on the offensive side of the ball. And, you know, the defensive side of the ball had a handful of good players, too. And, you know, we have all those updates up there on the NFL Draft Bible website. So, you know, it can go on and on for days and days.
Yeah, and I followed you on Twitter, and you are a hard worker, my friend. Every time my phone goes off, it's something from you, you know, telling people about what's going on, who's moving up, who's moving down. And it's a lot of great information. Now, what was the website one more time where people can find your information?
Yeah, NFLDraftBible.com. Check us out over there. Of course, on Twitter, at NFLDraftBible. We do a good job of putting up everything over there. And, you know, just two quick players, Marcus Davenport from, UTSA. I think this guy is a solid top half of the first-round pick. And then Will Hernandez from UTEP, two of these under-the-radar Texas schools. Will Hernandez, a guy that made himself some money. I think he's now a top 50 overall selection, too. Just guys that popped into my head.
Okay, Rick, listen, as we move towards trying to get some conversation going about the Saints, the next question I want you to, in general, give me some answers to is, which positions do you think have the most depth?
Well, you know, I think running backs, this is about as stacked as it gets with guys like Saquon Barkley, Darius Geis from LSU, Ronald Jones from USC, even Cameron Petaway from Auburn. In the mix in that contention for the first round. And then we didn't even talk about a guy like Sony Michel or Nick Chubb from Georgia, Rashad Penny, who was at the Senior Bowl, probably another guy that goes in the top 100. But here's a sneaky guy to keep an eye on, Nyheim Hines from North Carolina State, early declaree, wide receiver, kick returner, special teams extraordinaire. This guy has a chance to sneaking up in the top 50 as well. So I would say running backs is about as deep as it can get this year in the draft.
Okay, so give me an idea. Now I'm going to move towards some of the positions that at least I feel that the Saints need to improve at. Now, whether they'll do that in free agency or the draft, linebacker, what are we looking like in depth? And especially the Saints are picking around 27. You know, what could we potentially see in that area?
Yeah, I mean, I think in the first round you're looking at guys like Rashawn Evans from Alabama, who, you know, might be there for the Saints in the end of the first round, but after his performance at the scouting combine, he could be a fast riser. Roquan Smith from Georgia, he's really catapulted his draft stock. He's another guy that would be in contention there. How about Tremaine Edwards if you're looking for a bigger back, a guy that roams sideline to sideline, a 6'4", 240-pound linebacker? Tremaine Edmonds might be right there for the taking. And then, you know, you take a look at a guy like Hercules Mataafa from Washington. You know, maybe I know the Saints don't have a second-round pick, but if they choose to go elsewhere in the first round, maybe in the third round, you come back with a guy like Hercules Mataafa, who I'm not so sure, you know, he's a pass rusher at the next level, but, you know, maybe he can develop into a weak side backer for those guys as a third-round pick.
Now, the little bit that I've been following the draft, because I haven't gotten my hands that deep into it yet, The Saints are looking to improve at tight end. The Saints offense, while they were productive, they lacked another playmaker aside from Michael Thomas. We had some disappointment in a guy like Willie Snead, who didn't quite live up to the expectations and productivity that he had last year. Is there a tight end out there that would be worthy of a first-round draft pick? Where would the Saints be looking if they were looking at tight end? Is it going to be that first-round pick, or would it, the value be more in the third round?
Well, you know, I think if the guy that we mentioned, Dallas Goedert, is somehow still there at 27, I think you pull the trigger. I think that's right around where Adam Shaheen went last year with the Bears. And this guy, Goedert, I mean, he's drawing Rob Gronkowski comparisons now, so I'm not sure he's going to last. On the flip side, you take a look at the next batch of guys, Mike Gesicki, Troy Ninefinger Fumagalli, the Penn State and Wisconsin tight ends that were at the Senior Bowl. You know, I'm not so sure they're around in the third round. What you might be doing is look for a guy like Adam Brenneman from UMass, who actually began his career at Penn State and, you know, just suffered a bunch of injuries, actually left football, retired, came back, transferred to UMass, and had an unbelievable offensive production type of season. Now, you know, because of how he checks out medically at the combine, he's probably a borderline first round talent, but because of the medical, may slide to day three.
Right. Okay. Now, just for the sake of good entertainment here on the radio, let's talk a little bit about Baker Mayfield and the Saints. Now, there's been a lot of, Sean Payton has said he likes him. The Saints fans are in love with him. Now, last year, and I won't be able to recall his name, Kansas City moved up from, if I'm not mistaken, 27th all the way to number 10. Gave up a first-round draft pick in the 18 draft and a third-round draft pick in the 17. Do you think that there is any kind of, just for the sake of discussion, do you think that that's a possibility? Or do you even think Baker Mayfield will get to 10?
Well, the way the Baker Mayfield hype train is running, I mean, I think he's putting himself in contention as a potential top five pick. Now, obviously, a lot can happen between now and the draft, yeah. But theoretically, yeah, I mean, can you state a case and say, hey, is Drew Brees on the back nine? I mean, he just had one of the best seasons of his career in terms of completion percentage and accuracy. So, you know, 38 years old, can you justify bringing in Baker Mayfield? I would actually bring back Chase Daniel on a one-year contract and, you know, just keep Baker Mayfield inactive for an entire season. And does that make sense for the long-term future of your franchise? Absolutely. I would have no problem with that. But because I see the small window of capitalizing on another Super Bowl and how close this team was to reaching the final dance, and that taste of agony and defeat at the end of the season would really make me want to reload and make one last push, one last drive for this Super Bowl run. And when you waste a first-round pick on a quarterback that's going to be a developmental guy that might not play for 2 or 3 years, you're now saying, hey, we're not going to take a player that makes an impact till the third round. And I think it just makes a much bigger impact if you can invest in a blue-chip franchise player that makes an impact this year to make that push towards a Super Bowl run with that first-round pick.
You know, Rick, I agree with that, because it's one of those things where you're so close, you just can't give up that potential playmaker. Having said that, Drew Brees turned 39, and you know, how much more does he have left? And a lot of Saints fans think he has 3 or 4 years. I think he has 2 good years left. And it's just about the future and what you're willing up to give now for the future. So anyway, Rick, tell our listeners where they can find you and get some of that information that you provided for us and much, much more.
Yeah, I know we're tight on time, but hey, you know, what's more valuable, Baker Mayfield or taking a guy like Derwin James or Ronnie Harrison to fill that Kenny Vaccaro slot? You save yourself a lot of money, you go out and sign another guy. So, you know, there's a lot of strategy involved, but if you like what we're talking about, NFLDraftBible.com is the place to check it out. Of course, we'll be on location up in Indianapolis for the NFL Scouting Combine. We've got some great Path to the Draft videos and some new big board ranking updates coming. Of course, we're dropping scouting reports each and every day up on the website. So, David, hey, man, we appreciate you having us on the show, getting our name out there, and anytime you need us leading up to the draft, I'll be happy to pop a cold one up.
Absolutely. Hey, man, we look forward to it, and I will definitely get in touch with you. We appreciate you, and we will talk to you very soon, my friend.
All right, sounds good.
That's Rick Saratello of the NFL Draft Bible. You can follow him on Twitter at NFL Draft Bible. And listen, he is constantly tweeting. So if you're looking for your NFL draft news, he is a great source. He's at the Senior Bowl. He's at the Shrine Game. He'll be at the NFL Combine. So the point is, he got eyes on these guys, and he's always providing great information. And look, as we were talking a little bit earlier with Rick, man, it's going to be an interesting thing. I know a lot of fans would love to get their hands on a guy like Mayfield, but are you willing to give up to secure the future a potential impact player right now? Hey, it's the BS and Beer podcast crew. I'm Dave Romero. Hey, we talk Saints and chew bubble gum, and right now we fresh out of bubble gum. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. 97.7 Sports Talk Radio.
You're listening to the BS and Beer podcast.
Hey! All right. That's a thing now, I guess.
It's my favorite.
I live in America. Knock you out. You know, like when you feel your energy level going down,
just play a little James Brown.
James Brown will get you up and dancing. He's moving this way, and he's shaking it that way. Hey, it's the BS and Beer podcast crew. Dave Romero, Heath Elson-san, Tomas Mauricio, the legend.
That's
the
me.
Man, the myth.
Thank you.
Right there. You know, I got to give him his props, or he won't come back next week.
That's
right. He wants to get his own shout out right there.
Yeah, that's it. Thank you.
I gotta keep him happy.
I appreciate it.
It's kind of like a wife. You got to keep him happy.
That's right.
Anyway, and I appreciate you, though, if I don't tell you enough, babe.
Thank you, honey.
Tomas.
Thank you, honey. I appreciate it, honey.
So we
What'd
talked
you get
about
me for my birthday.
Here
honey?
We go. You know, you All see, right. you got to take everything to the next level. That's why I can't tease you. So we were going to talk about position upgrades.
Yeah.
And the first thing I want to do is, I think, how many should we do? Three positions?
Three positions.
Should we go four? Three. I think that's a good round number. It's a good even number right
there. I'm trying to be good.
So, jeez. All right.
So this is not the tantric version.
Damn it, Gump! You're a damn genius!
No, I don't even know what that means. I don't know what that means. I don't know if I want to know what that means.
All right,
we have to remember he's from Range. Yeah. You know, so you have to, you know.
When you get older, we'll explain it to you.
All right. Well, I appreciate that. My youth.
We'll have that talk one day.
The Ute. Yeah. All right. So he hit me with. In order of significance, your top three positions that the Saints need to upgrade.
Linebacker. Defensive end.
You said you were ready. You just killed half the show.
I was trying to put them in order.
I'm going to have to put a song in or something right there without a dead air.
Coming in, it was in no particular order, but you wanted me to order them. So linebacker, defensive end, wide receiver.
Wide receiver. Okay, Tomas?
Linebacker.
Uh-huh.
Tight end.
Uh-huh.
Wide receiver.
Woo! Okay. To me?
I forgot about tight end.
Linebacker. Too late. Now we get to sound smart.
All right.
And not. I'm going to go linebacker for sure. Then it's going to be tough because here's the thing. Cam Jordan said that we good with Okafor.
That's why I didn't pick anything there. Really? I agree.
Yeah.
That's what he said. Now, yeah.
Plus
I don't
Levin,
know.
You said, and Hamilton, and then the kid that was from England.
Oh,
can't
God.
Remember his name now.
Oh, all right. We're stretching now.
So, okay. I'm just saying to you.
And the thing
well, I thought
about
Levin
is,
was a tackle.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing.
Yeah, I'm talking about defensive end.
Whatever cadaver we have to dig up to fix Anzalone's shoulder,
mm-hmm.
we're going to need to borrow some body parts to fix Okafor,
yeah,
because the same kind of problems. I mean, poor Kadava is just going to be.
Okafor just can't finish a season. In his whole career so far. I mean, a guy, you know, I like him, and he was having a fantastic season. But if he can't finish it, I mean, you know.
And you know, same can be said. Again, now we sound a little gloom and doom here, but I tell you what, you mentioned it earlier, Heath. Hendrickson walks off the field limping.
At some point in every game,
he
limps.
Always comes
and
back.
He comes back, so I'm going to – well, he don't always. He missed some time. But
what about Muhammad?
Now, you know what?
That's the thing. He played pretty well against a bunch of backups, and everybody got hyped up over it. You know me, man. I'm from Missouri. It's the show-me state. I got to see something from these guys.
Now, that could get you in trouble.
I know. Listen,
me
I am
too.
From Louisiana, born and bred. I don't want – but that was a joke. That's a joke. Nobody gets the joke. All right. So,
hey, boy, what's the idea of jacking that pot up onto me? Jack? Pot? Jackpot. Hey, that's a joke, son. Don't you get it?
All right. I don't know. That's a little foghorn, leghorn there. But Muhammad, I'm not going into any season with the idea that he's going to – you can't do it. He's going to be a gem, if anything, that, oh, man, we weren't expecting that, man, and he developed. I could not go into it with the expectation that he's going to be something more than he is because no. I haven't seen enough. But having said that, so I said linebacker. I think you said Heath defensive end number two.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to have to go tight end number two.
That's yeah. me.
And the reason I say that, and I say tight end slash wide receiver, if the right tight end's there, I would take the right tight end before I take the right wide receiver. So, but here's the thing. I do think we have enough depth at defensive end that we do not have at tight end. So that's why I would go tight end second. And Tomas, you were saying that just looking at the draft, that there's a bunch of guys out there, man. I mean, there are a lot of tight ends.
Yep. I can tell you. Andrews from Oklahoma. Goddard from South Dakota. Gazicki, I think that's how you say his name, Penn State. Brenneman from UMass. Fumagalli from Wisconsin. Hurst from South Carolina. Izzo from Florida State. I mean, the list goes on and on. The kid I like, Schultz from Stanford.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of guys.
Guy, you know?
Yeah, so. And that's the thing is we don't necessarily have to have him or a tight end in the first round. There may be guys who fit what we're trying to do because in my mind, and you guys, you know, feel free to jump in. When I say tight end, it's not necessarily because I want Jimmy Graham. I feel like if we had a tight end that was just an outstanding 3 to 6 yards guy that was a big body guy that turns around, Drew throws him the ball to first down. That's what the missing element in our offense was a yes. move the chains. We made big plays. We were one of the top teams in the league in making big plays. We were one of the top teams with explosive plays with what we lacked was our ability to convert third downs.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so in my mind, I just see this big old Brutus tight end that we get in the third round that, I don't know, he was a tackle in college and they moved him to tight end. He lost some weight. Nobody yeah. can get around him. He can't run down the seam, but if he goes 5 yards to turn around, yeah. it's a done deal. I literally daydreamed about that yeah. one day. Like, because, you know, I don't want to get the guy in the first round because, I want the linebacker. I want the yeah. – but I'm like, but we can find this tight end. That if all yeah. he can do is catch passes, he can't be covered between 3 and 6 yards. That's who I want. Because right. I feel Kamara and Ingram will get us the first four. After that, Breeze will just throw it to this imaginary guy that I made up in my head and get the first down.
I hear you.
His name's Andrews from Oklahoma.
Well, I mean, but that guy here, that guy's the whole package.
Yeah.
I mean, he's
going in the first. He's a first round pick.
Yeah, he's Jason Witten.
Yeah.
You know, he's that big. The reason I'm initially thought about disagreeing with you is just that Jason Witten's like 70 now, and he looks like it. He still catches the ball. I'm amazed he can get open. He looks like he lumbers down the field.
He does.
But nobody can catch him.
Right.
Or cover him. Yeah. Nobody can cover him.
Yeah.
Because he knows how to play his width of his body and his height.
Okay. So now, linebacker.
Go ahead.
All right. So do we spend the money? I mean, because we have some money to spend this offseason. Do you want a rookie who's the guy that you're bringing in to be that second level on defense? He's going to be your impact player. He's going to be a difference maker. Do you want that to be a rookie? Do you want him? He's going to be on the field 3 downs because that's what I'm talking about. Or do you want to spend the money and get him as a free agent?
Don't have any good free agents. Name the free agents in linebacking. You don't have it.
Yeah.
They're lots of money, but they're not that good.
We just need to find Deion Jones, too.
That's the thing. We can list out all these guys who I've already saw the names that are the guys that are going to be there in the first round.
Yeah.
But there are some guys, like you just mentioned, not just Deion Jones. What's the kid? Alexander from Tampa Bay. All these LSU linebackers that you get all aggravated about. Like the NFC South is peppered with very good LSU linebackers who teams got in the second and third round.
Yeah.
So, and there are guys out there like that. Can Ireland find that guy?
Not from LSU this year, but go ahead.
What's that?
Not from LSU this year.
No, I don't think there'll be a – boy, LSU's going to have an off year this year.
They have a couple of defensive linemen that are going to go in the draft pretty well. And Chalk is going to go, you know, he's going to go in the draft as well. So,
and
Williams too, I think, Geis. So I mean, Geis. You got people going to go in the draft.
Yeah. And who's the other guy that's missing? Oh,
Williams,
the Keys, Key,
Arden Key,
Arden Key. Yeah.
And he's a guy that we could potentially see drop to the Saints at 27. I'm sure as more information comes out, we might not want it because. The reason he would drop that far is they saying he's has a lot of bad habits and personal issues, and he's character concerns is what they call it.
Yeah.
And, man, when I watch him play at LSU, the guy's a player.
Yeah.
But if he has the wrong attitude, I don't know if that's the type of guy that the Saints would want to bring in. Having said that, so the other side of it is, man, if the guy's a difference maker to a position of need,
oh yeah,
it'd definitely be hard to pass him up, because I think he can do it. Hey, that's all the show that we have for you this week. I want to thank Rick Saratella from the NFL Draft Bible for coming in and hanging out with us. For Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio, I'm Dave Romero. You've been listening to the BS and Beer podcast on Sports Talk 97.7.
Later. And anyway, the person who sits here is but the most conspicuous member of a superb team of journalists, writers, reporters, editors, producers, and none of that will change. Furthermore, I'm not going away. I'll be back.
And that's the way it is. Oh, miss, we have a lot of fun. I love this podcast.